From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, March 23rd. Coming up, we continue our series looking back at 1 year of the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we hear from the COVID director at a small hospital in Iowa. That story from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker is standing with leaders in the Asian American community to condemn racism in the wake of the shootings at three Georgia massage parlors. Julia Ting with the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum says the group considers this crime to be caused by racism, classism, and sexism.
After hearing about the attack, I had the thought that I no longer wanted to exist in my body. I looked in the mirror and wished that I could trade out my face for another, for one that makes me less of a target for the sexualization that too often comes with violence. But I am not what is wrong.
Ting says working-class Asian women are often treated as invisible. The governor says Asian Americans were also victims of what he called racist scapegoating over the COVID-19 pandemic. Democratic state lawmakers want to make it more difficult for private companies to buy up municipal water and wastewater systems traditionally operated by towns and cities. Public sector unions are also on board with the bill, seeking to save jobs for workers on the public payroll. Joanna Webb-Govin with AFSCME Council 31, which represents tens of thousands of state and municipal workers in Illinois, cites data showing consumers who live in towns with privatized water systems are paying more than their neighbors with public water systems.
Privatization reduces service quality and safety by introducing a profit motive that gives corporate interests an incentive to cut corners. We see the negative consequences when municipal water and wastewater systems are sold off to corporate bidders. When water systems are sold, it means higher rates.
Webb-Govin says in the last three dozen municipalities whose water systems have been privatized in the last several years, consumers have paid an estimated $220 million above what they'd otherwise be paying for water and wastewater treatment. The fate of the Champaign County Recorder's Office is up to the voters. If they approve a referendum on the April 6th ballot, the work of the Recorder of Deeds will be merged into the County Clerk's Office. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The referendum is a binding one, and if Champaign County voters say yes, County Recorder Mike Ingram will step down by December or earlier. The work of keeping Champaign County property records will continue under the County Clerk. Ingram praises the skills and hard work of his staff, but says his own job is mainly a political post.
I've been pitching in and doing all sorts of things in the office, but I don't think there's been any time where I felt like, gosh, they wouldn't survive without me.
The two recorders who preceded Ingram, Republicans Mark Sheldon and Barb Fresca, say the office needs a full-time leader who will be ultimately accountable to the voters, whether they're elected or appointed by the county board. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
A man in his 80s is the 136th person with COVID-19 to die in Champaign County. Local public health authorities reported the fatality yesterday, along with 22 new cases of the virus. The number of active COVID-19 cases in Champaign County rose by 1 to 246. Nearly 22% of Champaign County's vaccine-eligible residents and more than 26% of the total population are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Still to come, the latest installment of our series, Reflections, looking back on 1 year of the COVID-19 pandemic. That story from Side Effects Public Media is next on 217 Today.
Hi, this is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st. And I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. We continue our Reflections series about a year of COVID with Dr. Lauren Graham. For the past year, she's been the COVID coordinator at Grinnell Regional Medical Center in Grinnell, Iowa. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs spoke to her about death and life during the pandemic.
So I think in April, I was anticipating this awful wave of terribleness that thankfully did not come. But I think I underestimated kind of, you know, that this would be an ongoing, always stressful issue, you know, and what was stressful then, lack of PPE, uncertainty about testing protocols, those things have largely gotten better. replaced new issues, which, you know, is just going to be how this process goes, I think. We've had 4 nursing home outbreaks in our county. You know, I think every time one of those happens, that is a pretty serious moment. You know, there's these little pictures on the chart that shows the person, and you look at those little pictures and you just know some of them are not going to make it through this. And the truth is, you know, we are getting better, and we have more tools, and we know the illness better, and there are less fatalities than there were earlier on. And that is, we're grateful for that. But for every family member I have to call and say, you know, look, your loved one that you haven't been able to see for months because the nursing home has not allowed any visitors to prevent infection, has COVID-19, and they're not doing so well, and here's what we have to do, and they're going to come to the hospital, and you still aren't going to be able to see them, and they may pass away, and you might have seen them on a Zoom call. That feels awful for so many reasons. As awful as the outbreaks in the nursing home have been, sometimes caring for those patients and talking to grateful family members who are so glad you are coming to see their loved one have been the highlights. And there was a patient who had been my patient for years, actually, and was now in the nursing home, who unfortunately passed away from COVID-19. But I got to be with her as she passed, and her family got to be outside her window. This was thankfully in nice weather. And, you know, that was just a pretty touching moment that I got to be part of that, and got to be there for her in a way that her family really couldn't be without putting themselves at risk. And it's been hard on my family, just not being there very often. I have 7-year-old twin boys, and they had a birthday just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we were coming up to their birthday. Request number one was a vacation to somewhere warm. We said, that's not going to happen. And request number two was, Mom, we want you to not work on our birthday. The fact that that was the number two request before any particular toy or other 7-year-old appropriate item was just kind of a sign that, I've been working too much and my family knows. The next year is going to be a lot the same as the last, although better. And I think there was a time when I really thought it would be gone soon, and then soon kept stretching a little further and further and further. I do think as more people get vaccinated and as we have more developed treatment options, that this will become more routine. But I don't think it will completely go away. And I think the harder thing will be rebuilding all of the other pieces of our lives that have kind of been neglected as we kind of get back to new normal, right? And, you know, what we see outside of COVID in the hospital and in our clinics is lots of anxiety, lots of chronic conditions that have not been as optimally cared for because people don't have the energy to do what they need to do. They've been afraid to come to the doctor. And, you know, we see more folks dying from cardiovascular disease and strokes and other things because they haven't been getting the care that they need. And, you know, I think it's going to take a while to recover from all of that. And that will put a toll on folks too.
That was Dr. Lauren Graham of Grinnell Regional Medical Center in Iowa. SideFX public media reporter Natalie Krebs produced this segment. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says cloudy and breezy today with occasional showers and a high of 63 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Eric Stock, Hannah Meisel, Jim Meadows, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmean. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.